nobody sees uncertain times as because you don't know what's going to happen, then actually you should just start doing more stuff that you do because you never predicted it. And I think that's quite cool because it's a complete flip on the uncertain times sounds like a really bad thing. Because it's uncertain times and because you didn't know this was going to happen, because you didn't know what's the outcome, then you might as well just start trying stuff that you've never tried before.
This is Talking to My Thoughts.
Welcome to Talking to My Thoughts, the podcast where we have open, honest, and raw conversation about things that are playing on our minds. And my name's Simon, aka SJ. I'm a video creator, I'm a father, and I'm a business enthusiast.
My name is Craig Riviere, aka Mr. Positive. I'm a cheesy, motivational, unique perspective of a person and solution at the same time.
And we are also thankful to be joined by our guest today, who is...
My name's Denzel, aka Denz Create. I'm a filmmaker connoisseur.
Whipping it up. Cool. So obviously in this podcast, we bring a unique perspective on our inner thoughts by literally pre-recording the things that are on our minds before talking about them amongst the group. Now, we do this because we believe before you can be open with others, you first have to be open with yourself. So the topics can range from love, money, family, work, our emotions, absolutely anything that drives us to become the people that we are today. So you already know that the possibilities are going to be endless. Make sure you guys stay up to date and follow us on our socials and connect with us on all of our major podcasting platforms at Talking to My Thoughts. So today's topic is about isolation and living a life of uncertainty. Now, isolation is essentially defined as the act or process or instance of being isolated and to separate yourself from others. Now, in as few words as possible, we'll start with Craig. What comes to your mind when we talk about isolation?
Loneliness.
Nice. Cool. Denz, what are your thoughts?
A feeling of being trapped, maybe.
Trapped, loneliness. I think for me, when I think about isolation, I also think about like separation. So I think that's my main word is being separate from the world, essentially. And I think that's what isolation means to me. So before essentially we dig a little bit deeper into obviously where those words, how we kind of associate ourselves with those words and obviously isolation, we're going to kick off our first thought, which is going to be from Craig. So Craig, if you get your phone out, we're going to have a listen to what you think about isolation and living a life of uncertainty.
Six weeks, I'm telling you, I've been in isolation. Well, at least for me. Gone on a little bit longer than others, but man, 6 weeks, yo. I mean, like, I know I'm an introvert, but I really didn't think I would have to be an introvert like this. Every day I'm waking up and I live alone. So, because you live alone, it means that, well, there's nobody around you, nobody to... trouble you in your space, nobody to see to or anything like that. You just got to take care of yourself, wash your butt and get on with life. But even being an introvert, I really do miss my friends. I do miss my family. I do miss, I guess, the freedom as well. And I do find myself getting down about it sometimes, thinking, well, could it go for another 6 weeks, 12 weeks, maybe longer? When would I be able to see them? When would I be able to go back to St. Lucia? These are all things that run through my mind. And honestly, like, that can literally make me go crazy. And it could probably paralyze me as well. In a sense that it would just make me feel so down that I wouldn't want to do anything. Funny enough, these last 6 weeks have actually been really powerful for me. You know, when you say you always need time for you to figure things out and give yourself time to learn this and do this. Yeah, I've really utilized that time. It was kind of like a fight or flight kind of thing. Where I got put in isolation from injury, and then the actual isolation, the actual lockdown happened. And then it was like, okay, what are you going to do now? Are you just going to mope around, or are you going to actually do something about it? My mission for myself, to myself, is literally just to ensure that I can come out of this better than I was before. Because this is an opportunity to utilize this time I was given. All we have now is time and opportunity. So my main mission has kept me going and wakes me up and keeps my days moving forward is to basically ensure that I finish this season, whenever it's over, thriving, better, stronger, whatever it is. So yeah, I do miss my friends when I think too far in the future. I do miss the things that we could be doing. I do miss just some better interaction and going out and the freedom. However, I won't let that trap me. I won't let those thoughts be my cage. And I'll basically allow myself to grind while we are in this place. So yeah, I'm definitely missing people. Yeah, you can see I'm going a bit crazy, even speaking to myself, as you can see now. But I know that I can come up better after this. And then there's going to be a lot to celebrate, because there would have been a lot that I achieved. Boom, boom.
Boom, boom. Wow. Picked up a couple of things from that, actually. It was quite interesting. I know for all of us, it's an experience and a challenge that none of us have really faced before. So everything that we're almost going through at the moment is new. And it's like there's not really a blueprint on how to get through it, I guess. We're all kind of living it together and we're all trying to make it work as best as we can. Obviously what you're feeling is going to resonate with a lot of people, including obviously myself, I'm sure Denzel as well. It's different because obviously you said that you're alone, so it's like the feelings that you have and maybe the anxiety you go through on a day-to-day basis and how you try and motivate yourself is going to be a lot different, because it's only you to kind of, you got to rest on your own shoulders sort of thing. Obviously from my side of things, I've got people with me, I've got family with me as well. So it's you're still going through certain emotions, but it's easier because you have other people to lean on. One thing that I picked up from there is when you was talking about feeling that you was paralyzed as well. That was interesting. I don't know if that, obviously you meant that as both physically and emotionally, because obviously before the whole lockdown situation happened, you was going through an injury anyway. So you may have felt paralyzed in that sense. Well, how did you, what's kind of the thing that's kept you going and motivated you, other than just obviously thinking about the future and what you're going to do once we get out of this rut? What's kind of your main driver for kind of getting through this?
Interestingly enough, something I've been talking to quite a few people about is that actually I can genuinely say, of all the people that are pretty close to me, from my parents, my family, and even my close friends, are actually doing okay at this time. I can genuinely call them, and a lot of people who you would be worried about usually, you know, some people be like, oh, I don't know if they're going to cope because normal life was already hard enough, or they may not adapt very well. They literally been like, yeah, I've been utilizing this time pretty well. I've been using it pretty efficiently. I'm feeling pretty good. I know we're going to get out of this. And that has been refreshing, because usually you would think that a lot of people are going to be down and you got to check in on them. And obviously every person you check into, it is a bit of energy you got to use. But these people have actually been like, no, it's been good. How are you doing though? And I'm like, oh man, they just flipped the script. They get to check on me now. And that's been really refreshing. So again, there's a lot of things that have been taken away from us, but to prevent the paralyzing effect of thinking that life is all over or things can't go on is the fact of the, I've woken up, I'm healthy, other people that I care about are healthy, and thankfully it's even sunny as well. So sometimes while you're grateful for what's going on, the sun's shining as well. And I said, oh, that's you, God. Oh, you've gone done that now. And that's the small thing that I think that has actually kept me going. We always want these bigger things. We want to be on holiday, we want to go somewhere, we want to party, we want to buy something, we want to go out. Then you just got to bring it all the way back to the smallest thing and be like, you know what, I'm alive. You know what, I have money, or I have food, or something like that. And that has, I think it has given a really good perspective as well, for me, and probably for other people as well, to realize you don't need much for you to actually just make your life keep going. And not just keep going, actually be in a good place, be happy, actually smile about something and laugh about something. It's the smallest things. And that's what's really kept me going.
Well, obviously I can relate because I'm also alone as well. So going through the everyday process of, waking up. There was a point for the first maybe 2 weeks where I feel like I was living the same day over and over again. And you're just like, it felt like a movie where you're just thinking, "Rah, I can't go outside again. Again? Oh, this is crazy." And then, so I can relate to the fact of being alone and literally, apart from seeing my mum, I haven't really seen anyone this entire time. So I can relate to that. And also I relate to what he said about being an introvert and still finding it, and still finding it a bit tough and struggling at times, because naturally a lot of people think, oh, when it comes to a situation like this, oh, the introverts, they'll be fine. They're used to doing this. And while there's a level of truth to that, maybe the adaptation is not as drastic as someone who's a social butterfly all the time. That's your introvert by choice. You're not introverted mm-hmm. because you're trapped or you're locked in, or you know what I mean? If you wanted to go outside, you could go outside. But we're in a situation now where that's not advisable to anyone. So and basically it takes away the balance, because people think, oh, introverted means you just kind of stay with people. Not really. Introverted means you enjoy your own company, you enjoy your own space, and you get on well in your habitat. But however, you still need a level of balance outside and with people, mingling and stuff like that, to maintain that level of balance. So right now I think everybody is really unbalanced. But what I take away from it as well is just the fact that we're all going through it together, you know? It's not like it's just us three that's isolated and everyone else is out there having fun. We're all going through it together. So I can relate to pretty much most of the things he said. Obviously, his family's in St. Lucia, so I can only imagine how tough that is. The only time I get to see my mum is just basically I go shopping, drop the food at the gate, comes out, sprays everywhere, and it takes the thing and goes. So that's the only time I see mum, really. It's a crazy time. We may never go through this again. And it's one of those once in a lifetime things that we're just going to have to hopefully get through and say, yeah, remember them times back in 2020? That was mad, bro. Yeah.
Your mom's moving mad. She spray up the air, boy. Dems weren't giving me nothing today, boy.
No, it's mad. It's mad, bro. She's proper on it. But I don't mind that, because I know that because I'm not there, at least she's being careful and, just taking precautions and stuff. So,
no, that's beautiful, man. That's a good thing. Obviously, as you said, we're going through it together and we've got to support each other as well at the end of the day. And it's interesting, because I guess it links back to Craig, what you were talking about when we was talking about the word association, and the word that you picked out was loneliness, right? And it's just so relatable, obviously, when we're talking about isolation, how you connect it to loneliness. And you're thinking, obviously, well, at the moment, you're at home alone, your family's not even in the country, or your parents are not in the country. So how you're coping with it. But again, you're looking at it, trying to look at the brighter side of life and thinking, you know what? I woke up today, I'm alive, I'm healthy, my family's okay, like the sun is shining, like fair enough, we've got to go through this, but what do I really have to complain about, innit?
Yeah.
What do I have to complain about? Right now, everything's not going to hell, sort of thing, at least not from your world where you're at home and you're safe. So I think that's the blessing, and that's the important thing, that just be grateful for what you do have. And yeah, we'll all get through it together, man. So obviously if those things are feelings that anyone else is feeling, it's just about being open and communicating with the people that are closest to you as well. Because if you do feel that way, maybe it's just a case of reaching out to someone, FaceTiming someone, phoning someone, and just trying to, again, have a sense of normality. And it's important for mental health as well. You don't want to be cooped up in your house just wondering, when am I going to get out? Because I'm an introvert too. So I, in some respects, I don't mind staying in as much, but then there is limitations to it, as Denzel said. So it's just a case of, it ain't going to last forever, man. We've got to push through it.
To touch on the one piece which I said about the paralyzing, yes, I did have an injury which was physically paralyzing. However, what everybody could probably relate to is the fact that you feeling you can't do anything while you're indoors, because it feels like you're isolated, trapped, and in a cage, when in reality, actually, there's so many other things you still can do. But your mind can trick you into believing that you can't do anything. So you will technically, your mind is the one that's paralyzing you. You're literally just laying there, just waiting for the world to just open up, when really it's actually like, no, you could actually still watch TV. You can still check on people. You can still what you can still do a course. There's so many things you can still do, but because there's a illusion of like a lack of freedom, you feel that everything's been taken away. Not just a little bit, all of it has been taken away. So yeah, that's the level of paralysis. And for me, it was just when I went through the physical side of not being able to do what I had to do, I knew that I could still read. I knew I could still read, listen to books. I knew I could watch some movies. I knew I could play some games. But because I was physically just not feeling it, it just leaked into my mental state, and then that's it. And I think that was a great analogy for me to go through that, because then it comes into the whole lockdown. Yes, it feels like we're unable to do anything, but actually there's so much we can do. So the mind is, again, this is very, very important thing to take care of and assess what is going on. So yeah, that's the key part I was trying to say.
Wicked. Cool. All right. Well, let's move on to my voice note, and then we'll follow up with the discussion, man. Let's go. Isolation. Living life in uncertainty. I mean, for anyone, it's going to be difficult, of course, but for me, at least, I take it as an opportunity, especially when you don't know what's around the corner. How can you really plan in the same way that you have done for most of your life? So you just take it day by day. And for me, it's like, what now that I have more of my time on my hands, what do I really want to do with it? So that's whether it's trying to reach the goals that you've never really reached before, or you've always had that excuse of, oh, I don't have enough time to do it. I don't have enough time to do that. You have time on your hands now. What are you going to do with that? So as I said, it's more for me an opportunity to grow, to better myself, to do the things that I want to do rather than the things I have to do. And that's about spending time with the people that are closest to you. And I understand, obviously, where you're in lockdown and you're in isolation, you can't always go and see those people, but at least you still have the time to speak to them and communicate and talk and listen and have fun, be it over, you know, social media or over the phone or whatever else. You now have the time that you can invest more into those people that you love, I guess. And then to better yourself and take an opportunity to read and to upskill and, I don't know, start that business you always wanted to start and build that website you always wanted to build and design those clothes you always wanted to design and get into fitness and health. And I definitely see it as an opportunity. At first, obviously, it was because you don't really know what's going on. There's a fear factor involved. How am I going to cope? How am I going to deal with this? And I understand everyone's in a different position. Some people are living home alone and some people are sick and they're suffering, and there's other people, whether they're key workers, that are working more than they normally would, and it's a stressful time. So I think it's important that we support each other as much as possible. But I definitely see it as an opportunity. But living life with uncertainty, it then makes you be braver in your decisions, because it's like, well, I don't really know what's going to happen, so what am I risking? Because you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Whereas before, you could be like, well, I have this to do, I have that to do, I can't make that decision because this is going to happen. And you can kind of preempt and prejudge the things that you know are for certain are going to happen, but now you're living in uncertain times. It's like those risks almost don't exist anymore. So now you can do the things that you've wanted to do without any risk, in a sense. So I definitely see that the balance in, obviously,
there's different ways you can kind of approach it and different ways you can take it depending on your circumstance. But for me, it's not, I wouldn't say it's a blessing. I wouldn't want to say that because, as I said, there's other people out there that are in this situation where they're actually suffering and they're taking it in a very different way. But for me, it's like I am thankful for what I have and my health and the people that are around me. And as I said, I now have more time on my hands, and for me, it is an opportunity to be better. And that's how I take it.
There was a line that you said that was, because we are in uncertain times, you no longer have to fear what you're going to do because you're unsure what's going to happen anyway. I find that's quite sick. Not sick as in bad, as in good. Because I have a saying that I used to tell myself, which I've said, I don't know how many times I've said it in the last 2 weeks, but I've said a saying that says, Craig, what if you don't know everything about the world? And including that, what if you didn't know everything about yourself? Which the line was important to me because it meant that actually I could start to make decisions and take opportunities, which I never thought were for me. But instead of having my mind convince me that I know anything about myself, it's not true. Actually, I can now just take opportunities because I don't know what's going to happen. So it's very interesting you said that, because nobody sees uncertain times as, because you don't know what's going to happen, then actually you should just start doing more stuff that you do because you never predicted it. And I think that's quite cool, because it's a complete flip on the uncertain times. Sounds like a really bad thing, but with that line you said is just a perfect capture of just flipping on its head. It's like, well, because it's uncertain times and because you didn't know this was going to happen, because you didn't know what's the outcome, then you might as well just start trying stuff that you've never tried before. So I like that. To follow up from that, actually, what is something new that you've done during this time?
So what I've always kind of wanted to get into is looking at like stocks and shares and all that stuff. And it's always something that I've been quite keen to learn about and kind of dip my toe in. But I've never really been sure and willing to take that risk. And it's only as of recently, I was just like, well, with everything that's going on, with everything that's uncertain and you don't know what's going on, why can't I take those risks anymore? And I just thought, you know what, maybe that's something I'm going to try. When you have certainty that, okay, this is what you're doing, you've got your 9 to 5, this is the money you're earning, this is how your day is set out, this is what you're going to do, you're going to work from 9 to this, you're going to commute, you're going to come home, you're going to eat, you're going to sleep, you're going to do this. Now it's like, well, anything can happen now. So why not take those risks? Even like I was considering dyeing my hair just for the sake of it. Like, you know what, I'm at home, I've always wanted to just do something stupid with my headpiece. Let me just dye my hair. Like, you know what I'm saying? Just be stupid right now. Everything's uncertain. Just do the things that you wanted to do and never really just took the risk to do it. So for me, I'm just finding some wild stuff to do right now.
I mean, you reaching about 35 by now. So I'm thinking maybe this is a midlife crisis. I don't know. I'm playing, man. I completely hear what you're
not
saying.
Not even, man. Yeah, it's exactly. It's just for me. It's like, well, I'm at home. I'm right stuck indoors. Like, you don't know as you said, everything's uncertain. You don't know what's going on with work, your job. Like, you don't know what's going to be happening in the future. No one really knows. You can't, nothing's guaranteed right now. Why not just do something? Just do what you wanted to do. Why not? That's how I take it.
Yeah, I completely absorb that. Life is basically showing us how much you don't know and how much you didn't know and how much you didn't predict, even if the system told you this is how it's going to work. Not even they knew that this was going to happen in the sense. So yeah, it's just a time to say, you know what, all the things that I thought I was supposed to do and is set up in a certain way, let go of all of it and just do the stuff I want to do. So I like that. Enzo, what do you have any thoughts on it?
No, I like how specific you were about saying there was opportunity and but made sure that you reiterated that, you know, specifically for you in your situation, that there's opportunity, because I feel like obviously when this whole thing happened, me and I think a lot of other people probably thought, for the first couple of weeks again, just because it was like, oh, all routine is now stopped, we're not going to work, we're not doing this, I was like, this is lit. Like, we could do anything now. We just have our life back. This is lit. And then obviously quite shortly after that, you realize it wasn't just a 2 week thing, it was going to be a long thing. But but I like the fact that you really stuck on it being situational, and not everybody has to take risk. Not everybody has to be productive. Not everybody has to, you know, because some people are going through some things. But in your circumstance, in your situation, you've decided to, you know what, look, there's loads of things that I've been sitting on, or there's things that I've, as you just said, in talking about the investment stuff, like there's things that I haven't actually had the courage before to do. Let me dip my toe in it now, and whatever happens, happens. And I feel like that's how people should be taking it. It definitely shouldn't be a blanket statement, because I think when it first happened, a lot of everyone was like, man, you can be productive. Man, you can get this done. Man, you can do that. But really and truly, some people may just want to break.
Yeah.
Get it? Some people just may, some people have been going full tilt for the last 5 years. And now that they have a chance to have a break, it's nice. And some people maybe want to spend time with their kids. What I would say is, when you say opportunity, I feel like you can expand on it by saying there's an opportunity for to literally do or be anything, even if it means do nothing. Like, there's an opportunity to do nothing. There's an opportunity to slow down. There's an opportunity to be still, be mindful. There's an opportunity to kind of look inwardly and heal yourself if you're going through traumas or if you're going through anything. And whereas when life is coming at you so fast on a day-to-day basis, we don't have, as you said, the key word, we don't have sometimes, or we feel we don't have sometimes that time, even to look inwardly, even to take 10 minutes to just do some yoga, do some breathing. And to answer Craig's thing, he said, Sam, what have you chosen to do new? I've chosen to do Spanish. So I've been learning Spanish.
Drop it.
No, calm.
The listeners want to hear it. Let's give us one line.
You know what? Yeah, I'm still. Oh, you know, I could just say my name in it. Miyamo Denzel. So
I mean, Miyamo, and then Denzel is already English. So what's that?
All right. He's trying to violate.
Don't hold back. We've been doing it for 6 weeks, bro.
Hey, I didn't start. I didn't say I've been doing the whole 6 weeks, but let me think.
Don't let him put you under pressure, bro. It's cool.
No, it's true. It's good. By the next podcast that I feature on, I'll do a whole sentence and things like that in Spanish for you. But yeah, man. But it's been good. It's been, as I said, it's a time to kind of explore and stuff like that. But yeah, I like the way he was specifically and reiterated that, you know, no pressure. Just if you're in a circumstance to take this opportunity, why not?
Yeah, man. I think, and again, that kind of falls back into the understanding of where my word came from when I associated like isolation with separation as well. And it didn't necessarily, it wasn't just about being separate from people, but you're separated from your life. You're separated from your day-to-day life. Your regular daily routine of getting up in the morning, going to work. You're now separated from that. That's not the same anymore. So now what do you do that you're not in that same bubble, in a sense of getting up in the morning, brushing your teeth, commuting to work, working, sitting at a desk, coming home, tired, cooking food, whatever. That doesn't necessarily exist anymore. You're separated from that. So now what do you do with your time? How do you structure your life? And again, I think that's how I kind of associated it also, not just separated from people, but you're essentially separated from what you originally understood your life to be. We'll move on to the part of the podcast where we're actually going to pull in some questions from our listeners. So we had quite a few, so unfortunately we can't answer all of them today, but we'll do our best to obviously pick these up on our socials as well. So make sure you guys keep an eye out for that. I'm probably going to pick 3 questions. I'll just throw them out there and then we can go through them and just see how we do. Yeah, sound good?
Sounds good.
Okay, cool. So would you be happy to keep this lockdown and advance from it as a society with automation of services, or revert back to how things were before? We're getting deep already. It's like,
Oh, that's a serious question. Okay. Okay, so my take on this, I've actually had a lot of interest in really, really random, but of robotics, a lot of big interest. And most movies that we watch has always been robots are going to take over the world, from Terminator, AI, all those things. It's just going to ruin the world. And then humans are going to be dead off. And then but robots are going to take over and make their own babies or whatever. It's always been something so dramatic and Armageddon. There was one TED talk I listened to where a person gave a completely different perspective about robotics, in the sense that we've been brought into a system which makes us believe that the mundane tasks that actually probably we can do be a lot better at doing have become something that we must do to create money. Yeah. This can be, I don't know, we could talk about things that you just know that you don't want to do, but you have to do it because you have to pay the bills. The easiest way for you to know if you're doing something that you don't want to do, the question for yourself is, if the person wasn't paying you for what you're doing now for work, would you still do it? Then from there, you already know the answer that you would, you're doing a mundane task or something that you don't believe you should be doing. However, let's carry on. They basically said robotics could replace that. They would replace the things that we don't want to do, or we don't feel that we should be doing as human beings, since we are multifaceted people. We can, there's so much we can do, but because we have to pay bills, because we're placed in a system, we're forced to have to do things we don't really want to do. And not a lot of people get to work in their passion. So he said robotics would be able to replace those tasks, let the world run as it would usually, and human beings get to do things that they were built to do, which was actually live out their passions, live out the stuff that they're really good at, and live out the things that they're really unique at. You're not just another banker. You're not just another teller. You're not just another person. You're actually someone that is unique in your own field, because you have a unique perspective of everything, your own story, your own way. So I kind of liked that idea of robotics replacing that. And I still believe that today. One of the lines I say is that, will we really put on this earth just so we could work 40 hours per week for the rest of, for the, what, 50 years of our life? And then we get to have a bit of freedom for like 10 until we die. That's really don't sound like that's what our purpose was. So that is my take on that. I haven't necessarily given a take, but that's an idea that I did actually move towards. If there was more automation and we got to do more of this, not having to trade money, time for money, and we got to live more of our lives because automation was put into place, I wouldn't see that as a bad way for us to move forward as human beings.
However, would you, to answer your question, so what would you prefer though? Would you prefer it being us being now, like literally, because he said
lockdown, yeah, that was a severe part, right? Yeah. He literally said lockdown. Yeah, no, I don't agree with that part. I don't agree with that part. I don't mind going to parties and carnival.
So would you prefer go back to?
Yeah, I like to be in my carnivals and parties and not go back to work. That would be a nice combination. And then that's, for me, that's how I imagine it. Like people, when people ask, what would you do then if you wasn't going to do your job? I would technically do the stuff I already do. I do some videos sometimes. I meet with my friends. I party. You just live your life. You enjoy your life and make experiences. But we spend, 80% of our lives actually just working and not living our lives. We have to make money that we cannot use because we have to pay bills and we just have to go back to work the next day. So that's my take on it. The lockdown, no, I don't, we don't need to stay in lockdown. We just don't need that.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. I think from that part of the question, I think in terms of living a continued life in lockdown would be an extreme that I don't think any of us would want to live anyway. But I definitely think that just the fact of what we've been living through for the last couple of months, at least, it shows us where society can go. And to me, I don't know if I would say it's a step in the right direction, but I definitely think it's a way that I could see society living and continuing to live without a problem anyway, because automation brings like comfortability, it brings ease of use, it brings efficiency. So I wouldn't want to go back to the way things were if I think that there's another option which is going to be more efficient for us in society. Things are going to be faster, things are going to be easily accessible, and I don't really see why that would be an issue. Obviously, I understand jobs will change, as Craig's saying as well. Things will change where humans will have to find different roles. And to be fair, a lot of it may move into being more technological roles, whereas supporting robotics and supporting AI and doing other stuff. But in terms of, as you were saying, like the more mundane stuff, if that can be done in automation, which then helps to push society forward and make things more efficient for us, then why not? Yeah. Cool. All right, let's jump into the next question. Let's see what we got. Okay, this one might be a bit sticky. So, assuming if street crime is at an all-time low and domestic violence is at an all-time high, do you think that this culture change will be positive or negative in 2 years' time if the lockdown continued?
Wait, hold on.
2 years?
There's still a high negative there, isn't there? You said if domestic violence is...
Yeah, exactly. So,
either you lower one, but you raise the other.
Pretty much.
I don't know if we can look at that as a...
If we're imagining that, obviously, with what's happening, the culture change and in society, say, for example, obviously what they've brought in the question is street crime is essentially an all-time low because most of the people, everyone's pretty much at home. But at the same time, it brings in a lot more...
Domestic violence.
It brings in a lot more other societal issues. Now, if we were to continue with this lockdown, and in terms of that culture change, how would you ever see that as being something which would work for us in the future? Or it just means that there's another problem to tackle, I'm assuming.
I believe that's an assumption. There's no statistics to say domestic violence has increased. And the reason why And the reason why I question that is because a lot of domestic violence is not usually because maybe the partner or the child or anything is actually doing something wrong per se, but more because of the person committing the crime has so many other inner conflicts. I beg to differ that they still have the same level of inner conflicts they usually have on a normal day-to-day life. As in, for example, let's say they come from a stressful job. Let's say they drink, which we also cannot do. Let's say they meet up with people that are quite toxic. There's a lot of outside forces that I believe contribute to people that are domestic abusers. So I question if the numbers have even raised in the first place. That question in itself for me, even if it was that it did raise, that's a very controversial question. I couldn't even answer that because there's so many things that we could say. We could say, okay, well, all of a sudden everybody goes on digital tags, which means that nobody can get sex traffic. So as soon as you become a baby, you have a digital tag, you can never get sex traffic, you can never get lost. That sounds like a great society, but what do they say? The road to hell is paved by good intentions. Nothing is as clear cut as we think, especially as human beings where we're so complex. So these questions are crazy.
It's a bit of okay, I got another good one.
Right.
I know that one was a bit controversial, but this is the final one we're going to go through. There was one about kids, but I know you guys won't be able to answer that, so I'll leave that.
Oh, me, you judge it.
No. Right, last question. So, what is the best way to console someone who is suffering from anxiety during the lockdown?
I got an answer how I do it.
Go for it, man. Go for it.
A lot of the time, it's just talking to them. Sometimes we want to drag people into a state of not having anxiety and not suffering. So, but the best way to help a person is not to drag them where you are, but to meet them where they are. So sometimes the smallest things you can do is actually just check on them. You're not asking them for the anxiety. You're not asking them about how's it going. You're just checking on them genuinely. And when they answer, you're not going to tell them, oh, it's this again. You're just going to be like, you know what? I'm listening. I'm hearing what you're saying. So sometimes you meet them where they are. You listen to them. And sometimes that level of companionship or company to them is a way to ease their anxiety. And in addition, sometimes you get into conversations randomly, which talks about some of the things you get to reminisce. Some of the things you want to think about the future. And the whole point is anxiety is a thing where it kind of plays on your mind a lot. If you can take them out from that little space that they're in and they can start to focus on that, that helps a lot. Is this specific to the isolation, by the way, or is this in general?
Yeah. So this is a question from someone that's, they have a partner who's isolated. They're not by themselves, fortunately enough, but they are suffering from a lot of anxiety during this time. And they just want to find a way to be able to console them, essentially.
So that would be a great case. Or even them encouraging them to go outside and just take a walk as well. Again, focusing on nature and stuff like that. The whole point is to try to get out of your head. Your mind is very powerful, but in both ways. It can both paralyze you with anxiety and depression, but it can also power you up to realize that simple things like birds flying and nature just being nature is actually something that's really comforting and... just gives you a bit of hope that things can be normal because the rest of the world is being normal in nature in itself. So yeah, that's my take on it.
Cool. Denz, I know in the past we've had conversations about, obviously you've had moments of anxiety as well. How are you How are you dealing with it at the moment? Are you okay? Like, have you got anyone else in your family that's potentially suffering from anxiety during this time? And how are you dealing with that?
I've personally been all right. Because my anxiety was never really triggered by sort of being alone in my house or being alone and just getting on with my day to day. Mine was always. I had two types. I had one where a while back it was more social. So it was more like in like very, very crowded spaces, like tube station, underground and stuff like that. And the other one was more weirdly always when I would be driving by myself and just again, but I guess because then you have so much time to just be in your head and think. But I've been fine. I've been all right. I've been continuing with like meditation and stuff like that. That definitely helps. Mm-hmm. Breathing exercises. I feel like recommending what do you call them? Like meditation apps and stuff like that is really mm-hmm. helpful for people going through, especially if they're by themselves because mm-hmm. they're listening to people talk them through it. And also, anxiety is all about controlling your breathing, really and truly. Like you can't be breathing really slow and be anxious at the same time. It's not actually possible. So that might be something to help. The app I use is called Calm. I don't know if that helps the person, but maybe they want to look into that. And then another one, I think a more popular that everyone knows is Headspace as well. I have both. For me, it's stuff like that. It's stuff like if you feel yourself getting stressed out, you feel yourself getting a bit riled up. And I have gone through moments, you know, certain interactions have made me a bit anxiety spiked, but it's just about centering yourself, breathing, and maybe even just burning off some steam, maybe even doing some exercise. Like I've never ever felt anxiety after I've exercised. I usually feel more at peace. I usually feel like I can breathe, my lungs are opening up, stuff like that. So I've personally been okay, but I hope that helps somebody else who's going through time at the moment.
Wicked, man. Nice. Well, thank you those guys that sent in the questions as well. Really appreciate it. And obviously we'll get to the other questions that were sent in as soon as we can on our socials as well. Keep sending them in because we're going to keep answering as much as we can and helping as much as we can. What we like to do obviously at the end of the podcast is generally just have a bit of a wrap up and a food for thought. So hopefully there's something that you can take away from the conversation and then it will help you going down the line. So I think that it's a blessing and a curse in certain respects, depending on the situation you're in. But I think the common theme is to basically try and have a sense of normality to your life. Don't let these things kind of get to you too much. Be around people that you love as much as possible virtually, obviously. So keep the conversations going, keep in touch with people, get out as much as you can. And I think the main thing is, understand that this isn't going to last forever. So it's just a case of just thinking positive. So obviously from the conversation that I brought up is just thinking about a silver lining, taking this as an opportunity. And hopefully once we get through this, everything will be a lot smoother and a lot better for everyone.
I would say, remember one thing. So we can't control when the lockdown is lifted. We can't control when we're fully able to go back outside partying. But what we can control is in here we can control what we think and what we can control what we consume on a day-to-day basis. We still have freedom of choice, you know, like while we're in our house and we choose what to consume, we choose what to watch, we choose what to not watch. So if you feel like certain things are getting you down because you're reliving, some people like doing this whole, you know, when you relive memories and stuff like that. And for some people that's great because you look back to the good times, you're like, oh, that was it. But then for other people, it just makes them a bit depressed. So understand your triggers, understand, you know, what makes you feel energized and what makes you feel a bit drained. And always you have the choice, your freedom of choice, what to do, what to consume. And just make sure you're choosing what's good for you, not what's good for someone else, not what's good for your partner, but choose what's good for you. And hopefully that will make every day a little bit more bearable while we're in this.
From me, really to extend from what you lot are saying, one of the key things that Simon was making clear was that we have a lot of time and opportunity, and it's very different for everybody else. But one of the key things that we do have from this current moment is the opportunity to be mindful, actually. And that comes in multiple ways. If you have a lot of time, this is now a great time for you to give it back to yourself, give it back to your loved ones, give it back to things that you've left behind that you haven't really been given attention, but you know you want to. This is a great time for you. And for those who don't have a lot of time and they've actually been, I don't know, their time's been taken away a lot more for key workers, this is a time to just realize you need to be very mindful of how you spend your energy. Sometimes we can use a lot of the energy, again, consuming media that doesn't help us, entertaining toxic conversations, doing stuff that just really wastes our time and doesn't help us. This is a great time to realize with the time that I have, I need to be very intentional about the time that I have and choose where I want to use it, because I need things to only fuel me, make me thrive and keep me positive and optimistic, because I need as much energy as I can. But this goes not only for people that are extremely busy, but people that are actually in their houses as well. Are you going to leave from this lockdown isolation feeling worse, or are you going to realize, actually, I did have control over what I can do and what I can consume, and I don't have to escape, use things as escapes anymore. I can intentionally say, you know what, I don't want to listen to this, I don't want to watch this, I'm going to use my time and do this instead. So keyword for me is just be very mindful. No matter what your situation is, be mindful and take everything that deep. So when you pick up your phone and you look at Instagram, it's that deep. You're wasting your time if you don't feel like it's making you feel any better. What shows are going to help you? Talk to the right people. And yeah, that's my main take.
So as you know, this platform isn't just about us talking to you. We want you guys to get involved. So make sure you guys ask questions, continue the conversation, open up to us about your views and experiences by either DMing us, commenting, or emailing us. If you enjoyed the podcast, please like and share our content to promote general health and well-being. We can't obviously get better if we don't encourage each other. So we need to talk about what's going on in our minds. Remember to follow us. Remember, subscribe, stay up to date and with all of our content and our events, because we do live events on Instagram as well. So make sure you guys stay tuned for that. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you, Craig. Thank you, Denzel. And we'll see you guys soon.
Slide in them DMs, man. We're trying to hear from you, man. Take it easy, everybody.